Now let us seek the Lord once again in prayer. Our gracious God, we thank Thee for this inspired book before us. There is nothing in it which is false. It is all faithful. In it we find men speaking what they feel in their hearts. And our Savior reveals what goes on in them. We thank Thee that He always has the answers. We thank Thee He even has answers for us today. We thank Thee that He does not leave us to our own devices. But Lord, we pray for a listening heart. We pray for a heart that has been opened up by Thee. And we ask that this good seed of Thy word will be planted in and then to grow and be fruitful. Bless us, Lord. May we experience Thy salvation and those who have experienced it to go on with Thee and rejoice in Thee. For we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. This morning I want to bring to you the words that we have before us in this 8th chapter of Mark, and to think about the words of the Pharisees to the Lord Jesus Christ and also the Lord's response to them. The Pharisees here are asking for a sign. Now, we can think about signs, can't we? If you have ever driven, you must have experienced missing signs. The first time we were visiting Providence Chapel, we missed the signs. We lost our way. And I wonder if you have missed signs. Maybe a warning sign, or the change of speed limits, or a diversion, or a direction to a town. Sometimes it can be a very serious thing to miss a sign, and sometimes it is quite harmless, and it is only irritating or inconvenient. Sometimes we might even ignore certain serious signs. There are people who ignore signs of illness. There are people who would ignore signs of changes of behavior and so on. And things can become serious. Do you pay attention to signs? Signs are to point us to something. And do you pay attention to signs around you? Around the chapel here, we have certain instructions and signs as well. Where to go and what to do. Wise people learn to pay attention to all the signs. Signs are important in this physical, day-to-day world. Signs help you to know where you are and what you're supposed to be doing and where you should be going. Signs serve a valuable purpose in our lives. There's a good reason for them. There's a purpose for them. And just as there are signs in the physical realm, there are also signs in the spiritual realm. And for spiritual needs, there's the signs for spiritual aspects of our lives. You see, you and I, we are spiritual beings. We are not like animals. We are spiritual beings. God has put within us souls, never dying souls. It doesn't matter if someone says there is no God. The very fact that there are people who say that they are atheists and that they don't believe in a God, it tells us that there is a God and Creator. How? You can only find atheists in a world that has been made by God. If there were no God or Creator, we wouldn't have people who would try to promote that there is no God. It would be foolish to do that. Those spiritual signs then are even more important than the signs that we see around us in this physical world. You can miss a sign or two here in this world, and things will probably turn out right. But if you find if you miss too many spiritual signs, what will happen to you? You'll end up far from God. Far from God in this world, and then eternally far from God in the next. There might be those who are sitting here and you have many regrets about your soul. You have regrets about your family. You wish things turned out differently. You have regrets about your children. You have regrets about your marriage. And also your walk with the Lord. Walk with God. You might have thought, well, if I went back 10 years, 20 years, I saw certain things. I wish I did that. I wish I stopped in that way. I saw certain signs, but I didn't listen. I ignored them. All of us have regrets, don't we? Parents have regrets. Husbands, wives, we have regrets. Children have regrets. But what should we do now? Should we just look back and mourn over our past? No, the Lord sends us another sign. He says, stop. Stop. As the hymn says, there is a way back to God. There's a way back to God. The Lord gives us promises after promises. He proves to be patient. He's more patient than us. He's ever ready to receive sinners. And those who have cast down, He receives them. Don't go further away from God, if that's where have you been going. Don't go further away from God's salvation and God's way. Those who do will get even more lost and more confused and then fall away at last forever. At the very least, you will end up in deep trouble with the Lord. Now, this passage here before us, it tells us about a group of people who missed signs, who missed all of the signs. But it wasn't that they missed it. They deliberately didn't want to see. They didn't deliberately, would not see. It was as if they were asking, what are the signs? And yet they had their hands in front of themselves, in front of their eyes, covering their eyes. Now, let's watch what happens here. How was it that they missed these spiritual signs that the Lord had prepared for them? And how is it that we might miss certain signs as well? There's a warning that many should take to heart this morning. Now, the first thing I want us to see is that the wrong arguments that people make against God. And that's something that is seen in verse 11. We read this, and the Pharisees came forth and began to question with him, seeking of him a sign from heaven, tempting him. You see, what happened in the context, the Lord Jesus Christ had just finished one of the greatest miracles of his ministry. He took the 7 small loaves of bread and a few small fish, and he fed 4,000 people. Well, we know it was 4,000 men. It was much more in terms of women and children. And when the meal was over, the disciples collected 7 baskets filled with leftovers from the meal. And verse 10 tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ and his men immediately leave by the ship to go to another part of Israel. And as soon as they arrive there, the Pharisees meet them. They might, and you might remember that who the Pharisees were. They were the legalistic moralists, the religious leaders of their day. They hated Jesus Christ. That's one of the things that Pharisees and others had in common. They hated the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because Jesus Christ refused to do things the way they said things should be done. He refused to follow the man-made rules that they had made. And friends, the Lord Jesus Christ did not accept nor obeyed their additions to what God had commanded. And none of us should be obeying what people add to the Word of God. and confuse things in the Bible and say, well, this is a good idea to do. We should never follow such kind of advice. It's not good advice. Here they come to meet the Lord. And we read in verse 11 that they began to question with him. That word question, it has to do with disputing. It has to do with arguing. And the word that is there, the tense of it, it suggests to us that they wouldn't stop talking. Have you ever been with someone who doesn't stop talking? They phone you, and you, some of you know, they phone you and you can't get away. And they keep talking, and you say, okay, well, I must go, the children need their food, or I need to put this one to bed, or some, and they carry on talking and talking and talking and talking. Here was the Lord speaking to them, but they keep talking. They keep arguing. They keep saying, but if, and so they argue with him. They have that kind of attitude. They argue with him. They kept on trying to drag the Lord Jesus Christ into a theological argument. And we are told that what they were trying to get the Lord Jesus Christ to do, and that was to do a miracle, to do a sign miracle. They wanted him to show them a sign from heaven, it says. That's what they said, just do a sign in heaven. And the Bible says that they were tempting him. That is, they were putting him to test. They were trying to cause him to stumble. They were trying to get the Lord Jesus Christ to prove his authority and the source of his power, but they were actually not interested. They wanted him to fall. After all, if Jesus Christ is of God and is God himself in the flesh, then surely he could do some wonder in the sky above. And so he could prove his case. Other men of God had done something similar. They called out fire from heaven and so on. Why can't the Lord Jesus Christ do that? What these men were really trying to do was to get Jesus Christ, because they didn't trust him, but they wanted him to get him to make a promise and then to do something that he couldn't deliver, or to say something that he couldn't deliver. They knew about the things that Jesus Christ had done for people. They knew how much he had compassion on the people, how he had blessed the people, how he had healed people, how he had fed people. They'd heard about the demons that had been cast out of people by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. But now they were trying to get him to attempt a miracle and fail, so that they could denounce him, they could speak against him and say, this is a false prophet. You know, there are people like that today. And some of you Christians, you feel your own weakness. You feel there are times that people have come to you and they ask you questions and you can't answer them. You don't know what to say. And say, look, you don't know anything about Christianity. Or they would point out your own sins and your own weaknesses. There are people like that. There have always been people like that. But the issue is, you can find plenty of faults and mistakes and weaknesses in me and other Christians, but you can never find any fault with the Lord Jesus Christ. He keeps shining brighter and brighter. And I would say to you, to go and learn of him, to go and look to Jesus Christ, see how wonderful he is, the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what these people were saying is that even the things that the Lord Jesus Christ had done, it's not enough. It's not sufficient to prove that he is the Messiah. That's not enough. We need more of that. They knew the things that the Lord Jesus Christ had done, but they wanted more. And isn't that true with us? We know what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. But are we satisfied? The Pharisees had heard enough of the message of Jesus Christ. They'd heard it from John the Baptist. And they'd heard him pointing to Jesus Christ and saying, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. They had seen enough proof. They'd heard enough message of the callings of Jesus Christ to say, who said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." They heard that he must go to lay his life down. They had seen enough proof to be convinced. And it could have convinced the most stubborn hearts of the skeptics. Their problem was simply that they didn't want to believe on the Lord Jesus. Whatever he said wouldn't satisfy them. They didn't want to trust him. They didn't want to admit to their own sinfulness. They didn't want to repent of their sinfulness against God and their lost estate. They didn't want that. And Jesus Christ was putting his finger on the very thing that hurt them the most, their spiritual need, and how they were religious and yet they were spiritually bankrupt. And far too many people are like that today. There are Pharisees like that today. We still have people who demand to see something other than what we have clearly in the Word of God. They want something great. They want something sensational before they commit to follow Jesus Christ. They thrive after it. They follow this person and that person and fill their buildings, not necessarily churches, but following certain movements. They may seek politicians. They may seek religious people. They may seek all kinds of religions. Why do you think that there's so much following after similar things today? Someone who offers to show you sensational things. Are those people actually helping people to live lives that are God-honoring and lives that are full of the Lord's goodness and joy? Far too many people are waiting. And I wonder if you are like that here this morning. You're just waiting for that next thing. You're waiting, maybe, when this happens, then you would say, you would do this and that. When this happens, when God shows this, then I'm going to trust him in this thing. I will believe him in this thing and that thing. We can be like that so easily. And there would be people who say, "Well, if there is a God, I would, if I need to see such and such a thing before I believe him." And yet the issue is this: God has revealed himself in such a way that we can't get away from him. We can't get away from the proofs of God. It begins first with our own hearts. The knowledge that God has given to every person, it doesn't matter what their upbringing has been, the Bible speaks of it, that we have been given a conscience and the conscience of God. That's why you find people who don't believe in God yet hate him. How can you hate somebody who you believe doesn't exist? You're just proving that he does exist, or you just don't like him. And you think about so many other things. You think about the heavens. You consider the heavens. The psalmist speaks about it in Psalm 19. God tells us that heavens tell us about him. What an amazing thing the galaxies are. As you look out, not in England, it is mostly cloudy. But if you're somewhere else and on holiday and it's nighttime and it is dark and you see the stars twinkling, so many things that you can see, and then you get a telescope and see beyond that. You might look at images, you might watch a program, and it shows the greatness of this world and universe, and you have to say, it cannot have come by accident. It cannot have created itself. It could not have done that. And so many other things. You can look at the human body, the marvel of it. David says that the human body is fearfully and wonderfully made. No two people in the world are exactly alike. No two fingerprints are alike. You think about the DNA. Every one of the 7.5 trillion cells that you have in your body, it has this genetic material, the blueprint, the code that makes things. And it can make another you. And your DNA is unique to you. You're different from every other person who has ever lived. And that's mind-boggling to think like that. And the millions of people who are alive now, and billions have existed throughout the world in history. All of these things are screaming at us. There is a God, a great God, a most wise God, a most creative God, a most loving God. All of these things. We can't get away from Him. His fingerprints are everywhere. What more signs do you need? Now, to reject these signs and to reject Him, to reject His word, while you claim to be waiting for a sign, is nothing more than rebellion against God. The issue for people is we don't want to know Him. Isn't that what the Apostle Paul says in Romans 1? He says, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Are you looking for more signs for God? Are you looking for a sign today? Well, my friends, look no further. One clear sign that you can look to is Calvary. Calvary is that place outside of Jerusalem where the Lord Jesus Christ was hung upon the cross, where He died upon that cross. That cross stands, as it were, as an eternal sign of the love of God to mankind for lost sinners. And so we have so many passages explaining this sign of God, the cross of Jesus Christ. And we are told this, words such as this, but God commendeth His love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God commendeth. That means He commends. It means to set something together. That word commend, it means to introduce. It means to display. It means to prove. So God commends His love, proves His love, demonstrates His love, introduces us to His love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What other sign do we need than that? If you are looking for a sign, look to the cross of Jesus Christ. But also, if you want more sign, look to His empty tomb. The tomb that is now empty. It's that eternal sign that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior, is alive now forever. He lives. He lives. I am He that liveth, He says, and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Jesus says, I am alive. Are you alive? Are you alive spiritually? Jesus Christ is the one who is alive forever. If you need a sign pointing the way to God, where else do you look? Maybe this morning you've lost your way. You feel distant from God. Maybe you say, I'm not a Christian. Where do I look for a sign from God? You look to the Bible. You look to His inspired word, which the Holy Spirit has kept throughout the ages. It's perfect. It has survived the attacks of the enemies of God, and it still clearly points us to the right way of salvation. It's not vague. It's not confusing in that sense that God saves through Jesus Christ. And so we read words like this. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. How much more clear could the Bible be? The way to God, the way to forgiveness. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That means everything about Jesus Christ. All that He has done upon the cross for our sins, to take away our sins. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, and thou shalt be saved. My friends, don't distrust the Bible. Don't refuse this. If you look for a sign, to prove the claims of the Bible and of the Lord, that they are real. You can also, this morning here, you can look around you. You can look around you. There are Christians here. You can ask them about their testimony. You can ask them, what has God done in your life? What changes has He brought about in your life? There is the proof as well. There are people who are proofs. They could be far from God this morning. They could be far away. They could be found in prisons, and it could be found in all kinds of sad, sad situations. But even though they will tell you today, I feel so weak and helpless, and yet the Lord has done great things for me, whereof I am glad. That's what they would say. Jesus Christ has loved me, and He continues to love me. He's transformed my life. Not because I deserved it, but because of His mercy towards me. He heard my voice and my cry and my supplication, and He delivered me from the hand of the enemy, my great enemy, sin and Satan. Now, the Pharisees didn't believe that because they didn't want to believe these things. Their request for a sign was a smokescreen. It was something just to not believe Him. Even if Jesus Christrhad rent the heavens, they would still not have believed Him. They rejected Him because He wasn't what they were expecting. What is our excuse? Even Christians who might be this morning walking at a distance from the Lord, they have dried up and feel weakened. They feel so cold about the Lord Jesus Christ. Those backslidden Christians can also be so confused in their minds that they can reject parts of the Bible. Even though it is clear about what they should be doing in that situation, but are we obeying the Lord? Or are we closing our eyes when it is before us in the Scriptures? So this morning, all of us are in need of the Savior. All of us, myself, you, all of us. There are wrong arguments, and I will move on quicker. But the two other things I want to say. The second thing is this. We've thought about the wrong arguments that people make against God. But secondly, God does not have to give what we expect. The Lord doesn't have to provide for us and give to us the things that we expect from Him. And that's what we find in verse 12. And he sighed deeply in his spirit and saith, why doth this generation seek after a sign? Verily I say unto you, there shall no sign be given unto this generation. When the Lord Jesus Christ hears their demands, he's grieved in his soul. Here is a sigh that he makes from deep within. It is a sigh of frustration, sigh of even anger. The sigh was from the depth of his heart, saddened by what he hears, angry at the fact that they have settled in their mind this prejudice of the Pharisees. He then asked them, why doth this generation seek after a sign? Why is it that people today, they are looking for a sign? That generation had the greatest sign of all in their very midst, in just before them. They had the Messiah. They had Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, walking amongst them. And they couldn't even recognize Him. They were looking for a heavenly sign, and heaven had taken up residence among them, and they missed it. Imagine that. And you've seen people like that. The thing is right in front of them. Some of us, we have trouble finding things. Especially men and boys, they have difficulties. Usually the mother finds things for them, and oftentimes it is right in front of them, and the mother has to come in and say, well, it's just here. And we all have had that kind of experience. But the spiritually is a more serious aspect of this. Spiritually, have we have Jesus Christ given to us the Bible and then being preached to us, and then we miss Him? We go week after week and we miss Him. And when we hear words like this, that the Lord Jesus Christ said, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. But when people think about the Lord Jesus Christ or looked at the Lord Jesus Christ, they didn't see the Father. They thought of him as what? They called him Beelzebub, Prince of the Devils. That generation had all the signs, and yet they didn't see the truth that was standing right in front of them. That generation had all the signs, and they failed to see it. And so the Lord Jesus Christ told them in another passage, a parallel passage in Matthew's Gospel, and chapter 12, spoke about, and said, I won't show you a sign except the sign of the prophet Jonah. Jonah, which is a picture, his life is a picture, or that part of it is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, you remember Jonah was swallowed up by the fish, and then it was taken into the depths of the sea for 3 days and three nights, and then spewed out. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, that's a picture of me, of dying, and then rising again from the dead. And that generation refused to believe because they didn't want to believe. There are two basic problems, my friends, with signs. There are two basic problems with signs. First, when a sign is given, another sign is desired. People want another one. It's never enough for them. No matter what the Lord Jesus Christ did, these men would have never believed. They would have always wanted another one. Just do another one. One more time. And the same is true today. People are not satisfied. If they come because of the sensational, then they will want more and more and more of it. But the second problem with signs is that signs don't save. Signs don't save. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ saves. Jesus Christ is the one who saves us. Faith in his finished work upon the cross, that does save. Jesus could have done all the signs imaginable, and it would never have saved a single soul unless that soul reached out to him in simple, childlike, but with true and saving faith. Faith in Christ alone. Then that greatest of miracles take place when a person is born again of God's Spirit. When a person whose heart was dead and dim and lifeless, suddenly the Spirit of God makes it alive. It comes alive. Has that been your experience? But Christ is the only one you need. If you feel that Jesus Christ, by the power of His Spirit, gives life. If you know your guilt and sin, if God has convicted you of your sin against Him, then you can go to Him, pray to Him for forgiveness. Pray to Him and respond to God by faith in Jesus, in faith in Jesus Christ, who died for us upon the cross. There are people who've waited for a sign and they've gone away. They've died. They've gone to hell while waiting. Their life has not changed. Their relationships don't get better. Their walk with God has become shallower. Is that me? Is that you? Maybe you are not making any progress because you're waiting for something else when it is all provided and promised to us. Don't wait. Go to the Lord. He's giving us signs. He says to us this morning, stop and turn back. I will receive you. Do you believe, my friends, these things? Do you see what they had problems? It wasn't that they didn't have a sign. It's just that they didn't want to see the sign. They didn't want to accept the sign. And so the Lord says, I won't give you any sign. There shall no sign be given to this generation. If you are waiting for a sign, you're waiting on something that isn't coming. That's what the Lord is saying. I've given you plenty. I've given you plenty. I've come and died for sinners. What a sign that is. What a sign of God's love that is. It's not what people expected, and it's not what people expect today. But that is where the grace of God is. He makes those who don't expect God's grace to experience God's grace. So don't make wrong arguments against God. And secondly, God has given us an unexpected answer in the gospel. And finally, the consequences of missing the signs is in verse 13. And it's a horrible words, or very fearful words, I should say. And he left them. And he left them. Imagine that. There was nothing more to be said. He could say nothing else to them. And nothing more he could have done. They refused to believe. And so he abandoned them to their choice. They were not made willing. Those men experienced the Savior speaking to them. And then the Lord left them. He turned them over to their own ways and left them in their darkness. What a horrible thought that is. But that is just what the Lord does. He gives people over to their own lusts and sinful desires. When signs are given and the person continues going along that path, there'll be coming a point when he will walk away from any who refuse his signs, never to return. He will abandon for eternity. My friends, we don't know when that happens. But that is why the scripture again and again says the time that we are sure of is now. Now is the accepted time. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. And so today, the Lord says, I promise you today, if you hear his voice, if you hear my voice, don't harden your heart. Go, come to me. I will receive you today. Today can be a day of your spiritual birthday. Are you still looking for a sign? The Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the bread of life. That's a wonderful sign. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. What a sign that is. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. There are so many more signs that we could have quoted, signs from the scripture pointing to Jesus Christ as being the only one that we need. Imagine, my friends, imagine a driver traveling down a motorway, passing sign after sign, telling him the bridge has broken, the bridge is out. But he says, no, no, it's all old signs. The council hasn't changed them and updated them. And the person just goes on and on and on, speeding along the motorway. Imagine that driver plunging into his death in the river because he ignored all the signs. You say, well, no one would do something so foolish as that. Oh no, people do that with their own soul. When they come to church and when they hear the word of God, signs are displayed every Lord's Day. Signs are displayed. Promises of God. The promises of heaven. The warnings of God are given. The encouragements are given. The Lord says, this is the way. Walk in it. The Lord says, look, whoever you are, here is my son. Here is the only Savior. Here is the one who blesses you with power and life, and he will give you eternity. And he says to us this morning then, come now. If you are a Christian and you feel yourself burdened with all kinds of things this morning, he says to you as well, I will receive you. I will not discard you. Whatever your past has been, if you say, I have come to church and I have been brought up in Christian homes, maybe some of you children, and I'm still not a Christian. Don't wait. Don't wait for another week to pass. The Lord is now today saying, come, come to me. Here it was a sign. Here were people. The Lord says, here I am. I am the only sign that is here before you. May we all see him. See the sign. And then it is, the Lord will never leave us, nor forsake us. May God bless his word. Let us pray.